Come on, turn a verse for me with me, please. We're going to kind of, got a couple verses we are going to turn to, but I want to start with Song of Solomon. This kind of, we are in this series called God Meant What He Said. And tonight we close out the three part of the bigger series, of the smaller series and the big series is Honor Marriage. God Meant What He Said when He has you and I to understand and honor a union between a man and a wife. And I want you to see this. Even in Song of Solomon, trying to think, God, what is a verse that we could come to? If you could turn to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So kind of go to the middle and then turn right, and you'll find the SOS pages, okay? Go to the middle, turn right, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I'd never planned on going here, but I just feel like I want to because it just, I hope it sums up your home. And if it doesn't sum up your home, well, I believe it could. If you're single in this place, buckle up, man. You've got to hear this. When you're a young adult, you're a teenager, you're in college, you know there will be a day that you're going to be married. Start right, stay right, end right. Know what you're doing before you get into it. Isn't it incredible? The state makes you do a whole kind of driver's test just before you can drive a car, but there is nothing for the second most important decision of your life. There's so many that start so backwards and they end in disaster. Man, you know that we at Believer's Chapel, we push this and we push it every way we can in regards to marriage, what God says about marriage, how your house can be a place full of love, kindness, peace, joy. Your house can be a place you can't wait to get. Your relationship can be something that is so beyond. I mean, you're talking back to the moon and back and just amazing relationship because that is the way God set up husband and wife. And you're thinking, you are speaking something that is foreign. I want the teenagers, I want the college students, I want the ones who are not married yet to just not miss this. And I want you and I who are married to see this and understand. I might have a great marriage and that's awesome, but there are so many hurting, broken, desperate marriages that I know God can do such a repair work and such a rebuilding in your home. And then you take this, you're saying, Sean, man, I have a great marriage. Continue. Consistency is victory. Don't you dare give an inch. Consistency is victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Amazing God, every week your word just continues to just speak loud and so real and so truthful. Father, we ask that you would just truly open our eyes. That God, by your Holy Spirit, you pinpoint this message to every heart that's in this place. Young or old, every heart, pinpoint this by your Spirit, God. Begin to deliver this and speak directly to our hearts. Father, that we would have eyes to see. And we would have ears to hear. God, clear out the past. Clear out bad counsel. Clear out worldly advice. Clear out the advice of family members that are worldly and ungodly. God, clear it all out that we would have an ear to hear from you tonight, God. What you have to say. Speak to us tonight, Father, please. Folks, please ask God. Speak to me tonight. Speak to me tonight. Need to hear this. In Jesus' name, amen. Song of Solomon 6, verse 3. This is real simple. But could you imagine? Could you imagine your home? Could you imagine as a young adult or a teenager, if you get this now, simply says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. Folks, Renee and I have that in the inside of our wedding rings. So it just constantly is up against my finger that I am not my own, that I belong to her. I am hers. And she is mine. That means it's not about me. It's about her. It means it's not about her, but it's about me. It means that I kick my desires and needs to the curb to pick up her desires and needs. It means she kicks her desires and needs to the curb to pick up my desires and my needs. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I belong to her. If you think about marriage and you think about the greatest marriage, It's a marriage that's full of sacrifice and giving. The word love that we cry out in song, we cry, God loves me. Love, agape, it means always giving. That's what love means, always giving. We are called to love one another. Always give, always not about you. And there are times in premarital guidance when I sit down with the couples and I tell them, listen, I want you I'm not saying be selfish, but I want you, young lady, I want you to write down a list of everything that you need from him. And then, young man, I want you to write down everything that you want from your wife. And then when you exchange the paperwork and you begin to realize, I need to become what she needs. And I need to become what he needs. That removes the feeling, well, I just don't love him anymore. Well, that removes all that because it wasn't about your love and your ooey-gooey, you know, lollipop and gumdrop feeling. Because you saw some drama on TV, hello. But you realize that the most amazing, peaceful, full of joy, life, pleasurable relationship is when I am fulfilling the needs of my wife. Hello. Because I know the needs of my wife. It wouldn't be awful if we never actually communicated what I need. It would be awful if we never got to that place to say, this is who I am and this is what I need. And then it's an honor and it's a privilege and it's a pleasure to fulfill out of a great love that I have to my wife. So, man, if you are even remotely in a place, begin tonight. Make a list. Honey, this is who I need you to be for me. This is what I need. Honey, this is who I am. This is what I need. And we begin to walk in a marriage relationship for the purpose of fulfilling the need of the other. Man, wouldn't that be amazing? I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. Incredible. We're going to two places tonight. Proverbs 12, please put a marker. Actually, it's just two books over. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, put a marker in that, and then turn to Ephesians 5. Proverbs 12, Ephesians 5. Again, God can do all things. And again, I said it for the last 2 weeks, I am only preaching to one marriage, the one you're in, or the one you're going to be in, not the one you had. I am preaching to the marriage that you're in. And if you are a young adult, I am preaching to the marriage that you will soon be in. Please know that. Please know that. And man, it is my heart's desire that you have such an incredible, amazing relationship. Incredible, amazing, that is so full of desire and not because I have to. What an amazing house that would be when you live by desire and not just because I have to. But it's a pleasure and it's a desire to fulfill the needs of my spouse. Incredible, incredible relationship. Jesus said, the greatest of you serve. The greatest of you is the servant. You want to be greatest in your home? Serve one another. Amazing. Come on. I want to put the 2 points, because I'm just going to show you these 2 points. You can write them down. These are the commands that God has for marriage. And then we're going to fly. One is love, just as Christ loved the church. Love, the command to the husband is to love your wife just as Christ love the church. That's the command to the men. And then the command to the wives, must see to it. That's pretty solid words. You must see to it. This isn't negotiable, man. This ain't up and down. You must see to it that she respects her husband. We're going to dig into these tonight. Come on, Ephesians 5. It's powerful. This is what it says. Verse 22, come on, stay with me. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. For he himself being the Savior of the body. Now look at this. Man, that verse 22 and verse 23, they just screw everybody up. They mess up more homes from these legalistic dudes who think, submit to me because I'm the boss. That 22 and 23. Listen, honey, you're supposed to submit and do everything that I want to do because you're supposed to follow me. I'm the boss, Alice. I'm the head. Ha! Get behind me and you do what I say. And that is some legalistic, disgusting teaching that is absolutely false. because they don't really get the whole scripture between a man and a woman and the greatest among you serve. If they really understood the number one command for a man is to love his wife, how? Just as Christ loved the church. And this whole submit and I'm the head deal, so many people screw that thing so badly up because they've heard some stupid legalistic teaching on such a subject as that. Let me make it clear, men. If you ditch your ego and you love your wife just as Christ loved the church, you'll never have to tell her to submit, ever. Because she won't be able to resist to submit to such a man who loves her with such a love. And the word head simply means you're the accountable spiritual leader of the home. The spiritual temperature is off in your home. If the spiritual temperature is off in your home, you're accountable. That scares me. Because I'm accountable before God for the spiritual temperature of my wife and my kids. While they're under my care. That's what that means. So you try to pull the head card? Come on. Don't screw it up. Make it as simple as God made it. Don't get into this. Well, you submit to me, woman. I'm not saying to punch him in the mouth, but I'm just thinking, okay? Okay, I'm not. Don't punch him in the mouth, but I'm just thinking. I know that's what you would maybe like to do, but come on. Look at this. This is so amazing. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's not a request that's greater than anything that you're already doing as a believer, as one who is surrendered to God and love Christ. It's that. Just as you are submitting to the Lord, submit to your husband. Now look what it says. For the husband is the head of the wife. For the husband is the spiritual accountable leader of the home. Christ also is the head of the church. This is not our church, man. This church belongs to Christ. We are a small local body compared to the large church as a whole, man. We are one simple little piece, the local church. I'm everything into the local church. Christ is the head of the church as a whole. Christ is the head of this local church, man. Christ is in charge. Now look at this. He himself being the Savior of the body. But look at this. As much as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Here's the command. Just as Christ also loved the church. Men, make a list. I do this in premarital guidance. I do this in after marriage guidance. Men, make a list. How has Christ loved you? Seriously. When I come to a place like this in Scripture, I stop and I write questions. I'm supposed to love Renee just as Christ loved me. How did he love me then? We can just skip over that or we could go deep. And the deal is this, please know this. Men, the more you know Jesus, the more you have an understanding of Christ, the greater love you will have for your spouse. Because you understand how he has loved you. And then you're supposed to imitate that and love your spouse. Sacrificial love. Christ put himself on a cross as a sacrifice. Unconditional love. Knows no limits, knows no bounds. Undeniable love. God demonstrated his love for you while you were still a sinner. Christ died. Demonstrated. Cannot deny a demonstrated love. Wouldn't it be amazing? 5 years in your marriage, 10 years in your marriage, 20 years in your marriage, people are going, it is undeniable how much he loves her. 20 years in, you can't deny the love that he has for his wife. Undeniable. Why? Because Christ's love for me was I can't deny how much Jesus loves me. And it's a love that cannot fail. It's a love that cannot fail. One of the greatest lessons for me, God's love for me, when I was about 20, 21 years old, I got broke. I mean, just broke before the Lord. I grew up in an amazing God. We could go through my heritage, past, and see you know, you probably had the Bible memorized before he came out of the womb. But not really, but probably should have. And here at 20, 21 years old, I am broken before the Lord in my sin. And I'm one who knew better. I didn't grow up in a home that didn't go to church, didn't grow up in a home that didn't know Jesus, didn't grow up in an amazing, incredible, God-fearing home, and I knew better. The one thing still that I continue to learn was this amazing word called long-suffering. You know what that is? That's God's patience with me. That he was so patient with me, one who knew better. And God says, I'm supposed to be so patient with Renee. But aren't we so stupid to go, well, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. And we just go so short, stupid-minded that we are looking at just today. And when we get something, we expect our wives, just catch on, follow, get on it, let's go. But God has been so patient with me for so many years. Gang, that we would understand, man, that we would get this. What is that peace in your world that just so sticks to your ribs on how Christ has loved you? And are you imitating that to your wife? Are you taking that and say, God, that's how much you love me. Am I in the same boat as that with my spouse? Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve. The greatest husband is the servant, folks. Not the boss. I'm the boss, Al. You cook for me, you clean for me, get me the remote. I'm out of work now. I'm going to sit on the couch until we go to bed, and then you're going to have sex with me. And because I'm the boss, this is the way it's going to work. No. Because if you're really reading this and you recognize how much Jesus loved the church, he was the greatest servant of the church. So are you the greatest servant of your home? How has Christ demonstrated such an abundance of love to you that you're supposed to imitate and love your wife? Love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Well, if I do that, I'm going to give up my position. If I give up that, man, I've got her trained as I am the head and I'm the boss. And you, listen, I'm going to tell us what we're going to do and we're going to do it. Christ gave up his position in heaven for you so that he could come love the church. How dare us hold on to some unbiblical position when you are commanded by Christ to love just as he loved you. You get that, your home is different. You get that, your wife will not be the same. Incredible. Incredible. Proverbs 31 says this. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth, her value, is far above jewels. Her worth is far above jewels. An excellent wife, who can find? So many times when I know that I'm doing some premarital guidance, I ask, do you believe that she's going to be an excellent wife? I'll put them on the spot in the middle of ceremony. Do you believe you have an excellent wife? And that, at that moment, they better say yes, right there in that moment, right here in front of all the witnesses, they should answer yes. Because an excellent wife, I believe, according to the word, is rare. And you will take care of that which you value. And so many times we can get so off-center and off-balance. And we will lose priority. Christ first, then spouse, then children, then church, then finances.
Christ first, then spouse, then children, then church, then finances. Well, aren't finances important? Listen, there's so many more, but that's top five. And I believe it's in that order. Well, shouldn't finances be above you? You find a church. Listen, I know people who don't have a whole lot of money, but they're in a solid Bible-preaching church, and they're getting truth, and their marriage is amazing. Then I know those who have a ton of money, and they barely go to church, but they say they love Jesus, and their marriage is a wreck. So the big question is this. When you prioritize and you recognize the value and worth of your wife, where is she on your priority scale? Listen, your wife must know that she is the MVP of your world. Most valuable person in your world, entire world, obviously not taking the place of Christ. Bring it down to an earthly world, okay? Please hear this. No person, no place, no thing compares to your wife. Does she know that? Or does hobbies come first? Does nights out come first? Does work come first? Are you home? Are you home? Are you home? So many times, one of the very first things, right, to get to the core thing, I don't have a whole lot of time. When I sit down for marriage guidance, I get right to the issue, man. We do not jump around. Hi, have a grab of coffee. Where are you on his priority list? I mean, we get right to it when we sit down for guidance. Where are you on his priority list? Well, he seems to be first on his priority list. Well, that is so bad. But that is such a serious issue. Because men can be so much about the man. When the woman thinks you're more about you than her, man, your marriage is going to suffer. Because you're out of line biblically. And you're out of balance. Come on, look at this. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, and he says to her, you excel them all. There is not one person, son, daughter, or otherwise, who compares to you. You are so far above anyone who ever walked this planet. He praises her. He extols her. He thanks her. He speaks the excellencies of his wife. That's what praise means. To speak the, when you see praise in all through Psalms, we are to speak the excellencies of God. We are to thank, we are to bless, we are to speak the excellencies of God. It is the exact same word throughout Psalms, right here in Proverbs. The husband is to speak the excellencies of his wife and thank and to boast and to bless his wife. By absolutely affirming there is not a person on this planet that can compare to you. Man, what a different place. What a different home. The men of the house would get this. The men of the house would get this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. This is one of my wife's favorite wife scriptures because she reminds me often, I am a good wife and you have favor from God due to me being a good wife. Yes. All the time. He finds a wife, finds a good thing. That's me, she says. And has obtained favor from the Lord. That's 18:22. It's the truth. It's the truth. Women, remind your man how good you are. Go for it. Remind him, you got favor of God due to me. Don't forget that. Right? Come on. Now look at this. Back to Ephesians 5 says this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, wrinkle, such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Isn't it amazing that God, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through Paul, put he who loves his own wife first loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but now look at this, nourishes. This word nourishes, it means to bring to maturity. Men, we are to bring our wives to a maturity. So therefore, we have to be mature ourselves in Christ. Now look at this. And cherishes, to tenderly care for. to tenderly care for. And we see how Christ loved the church through his compassion, through his kindness, through his care, through his grace. And here in Ephesians 5, it says we are to tenderly care for or cherish our wives, just as Christ has done for you. Now look at this. Because we're a member of his body, for this reason, man leave his mother and father, joined to his wife. We've covered this in the last couple of weeks in detail. Two should become one flesh. Mystery is this. I'm speaking of Christ in the church. Awesome. Verse 33. Here it is. Love and respect. The famous verse. This is what this is all about. Nevertheless, each individual among you each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects. That word respects, ladies, get this. Please hear this. It means to stand in awe of your man. It means to have a godly fear. Just listen, same word as fear or respect. How we respect and fear the Lord is the same way God set up in a marriage that is absolutely amazing, is for the wife to stand in awe or stand amazed by her man. Yeah, but you don't know my man. Yeah, but you don't know my wife. Why didn't I marry you? so many times. Well, I didn't know him. Well, why did you marry him? You know what trumps all of that? Is that if you truly love Jesus, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do to all for his glory, your first priority in life, if you are in balanced priority, is to honor the Lord and bring him glory. So please hear this, regardless of how he loves you, because you are more in love with Christ, because you have more of a priority list that he tops all things, I'm going to honor my husband regardless. Why? Because I want to honor you first. I'm going to love my wife as you love me, regardless of her respect level. Why? Because I first belong to you and I want to honor you first. Could you imagine if we would get past all of the shenanigans to get right to that? God, I live and breathe to honor and bring you glory first. So regardless of anyone in my world, I will honor you first. And you have commanded that I love my wife. There's no out, folks. There's not. Well, you can love her, except when she doesn't respect you, drop that whole section of Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 and just ditch it because you have an out. Because I want to honor you and love you, regardless of how my wife does what she's called to do, I am going to stand firm. Could you imagine that, folks? Incredible. Come on, Proverbs 12 speaks to both the husband and the wife, which is fantastic. There's a great question in this verse. There's a great question to the wives. Verse 4. Again, oh, here we go. The excellent wife. There she is again. Virtuous. The excellent wife is what to the husband? It's his crown. Please hear this. See, when they would return from battle, if there was victory in the battle, the warriors would come back from battle wearing a wreath or a crown, signifying to the whole village that we have the victory. This is a season of celebration, symboling the crown. As we return from the battle, as we return from the war, we are wearing our wreaths of victory, our wreaths of celebration, signifying that we've won the war. Could you imagine this picture? For those who understand that picture, when the Bible says an excellent wife is the crown, an excellent wife is the victory and the celebration of her husband. Again, goes back to priority. I know what I have. I understand how amazing my wife is. I understand what my call is as a husband. And in that, she is my victory. She is my celebration. She is my priority. This is why I put her in such a place of value and worth, because she is my victory and she is one to be celebrated. Husbands, is your wife celebrated in your home? Is your wife celebrated outside your home? Is your wife celebrated, please hear this, get this, when that other lady shows up? Through text? through that pornography screen. And the grocery store, you keep going back to that same line. Not because you're trying to witness to her. Because listen, when I put on a uniform, I'm still married to the most amazing woman on the planet. And when I put on a uniform, there has been many times that I've been hit on. There has been offers that have been presented. I mean, my wife's the first to know. But in that, you know what's amazing is I remember this verse. She is my celebration. She is my victory. And I turn every time. And the first thing, I don't even respond to the offer. I respond in, man, I have the most amazing, incredible wife. I am married and I'm so happily married. And I have this woman that is the most incredible woman. There is not a woman on this planet that compares to her. What do you think that does immediately? Dead end. This is the wrong cop car, man. Wrong idea. Who the heck is this guy? Not every time, but many times. You know what that's led? To a broken woman who is desperate for something. Who thinks that's how she fulfills herself, by fulfilling a man. I've had the opportunity to share Christ because that woman has never heard that from a man on how he values his wife. Wow. Because an excellent wife is the crown, is the celebration, the victory of her husband. And then look at this. But she, the wife, who shames him, the husband, is like cancer or rottenness to his bones. When you're in public, your husband says something, you roll your eyes. Shame. You speak ill about your husband to others. Shame. When we understand this, ladies, that you don't want to bring disappointment to your husband, that you want to discredit your husband, that you don't want to always put out his fire and his flame and his excitement and his passion, even though he does 80 things right but 2 things wrong, we focus on the wrong and you bring shame to your husband by just continuing to focus on what's wrong and forget everything that's right. You ever done this to the sun, right? And then you bring it closer and you bring it closer and you bring, and you can blot out the sun with your thumb when that's all you see. And you can blot out everything that's right with your husband when you just bring all his faults so close. So I guess the big question is here, are you his crown or are you his cancer? Are you his crown or are you his cancer? Let's bow our heads, please. I think one of the most amazing one of the most amazing things that God has given us, folks, one of the most important investments that God has given us is how we invest time. How do you invest your time? Because you only get so much of it. How do you invest your time when you're home at night? How do you invest your days off? How do you invest, you know, that amazing thing, once time happens, it's gone. How do you invest the time that you have? Wouldn't it be amazing if we really honestly understood marriage and say, there are no do-overs. I don't get a second chance at this. And I want to begin to invest my time wisely into my wife and into my husband. I mean, I was going over this in my mind all week. God, how can I close this? God, how do I bring something that is so amazing and what you've created for husband and wife? And God, even in those who just have a great marriage, awesome. And those who are here with maybe a wife or a husband at home, here whose husband and wife are here together, but man, you are so many miles apart. I've been asking him, God, how do I close this thing? And I got a lot of favorite verses, but this is one that you've heard me say many times, and I've seen it in a different way this week. Jeremiah 31, 3 and 4. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. Hear this. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. And I wrote something down. Right next to that, it says, love rebuilds. Love rebuilds. How many times I sit down with people and they say, I'm done, it's over, finished, nowhere, can't go forward from here. Well, if we believe in a God of all possibilities and we believe a God who said, is anything too difficult for me? If we believe in a God who says, I have demonstrated a love for you, that has drawn you to me. Don't raise your hands, but how many in this room have been rebuilt? Built again by God's love. Love as Christ loved the church. And love always looks to rebuild. Always. Love looks to rebuild. Father, we just thank you for this moment. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. God, I thank you for those who have come out tonight to hear this, knowing we're going to speak on husband and wife. God, I pray. Please grab the hand of your husband or wife, please. If you're single in this place and you know you're going to be married, man, I'm begging God that you not miss what God has for you tonight. Man, if you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're a college student, you make a commitment today. I will be that husband who loves my wife just as you've loved me. I will be that wife that will see to it. I will not miss my reverence to my husband. I will not miss that. I will see to it that that will be me. Folks, I am absolutely convinced that our lives can be rearranged in one message. And then we get to work it out day after day after day after day. That if you truly commit, we will do this thing God's way. We will lay down our arrogance and our pride. We'll lay down our egos. We'll lay down, he did this to me and she did that to me, and we'll just kick that to the curb and bury it. Because in 2 weeks, I'm going to preach another message. God meant what he said about forgiveness. It's incredible that God has forgiven us. God has removed it as far as the east is from the west. God has buried it in the deepest part of the sea. A place, get this, the deepest part of the sea hasn't been found yet. Isn't it amazing that God buried it in a place that no one can find? Amazing. And if we as husband and wife could come to a place, say, I will forgive. What an amazing place to start. What an amazing place to start. Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you for your Spirit moving in such a powerful, powerful time tonight. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. If you get that, man, please squeeze the hand of your husband and your wife, and you get it. I am yours. I am yours. And you are mine. That's the way God intended it. Father, thank you. Father, thank you so much. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please.